Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yes, you are.
Oh, I am? Okay, good, good. Man, these are majorly different. I want to welcome our VFN TV and Daily Radio Program audience. Man, I'm glad to be here. I hope you can hear me. I can barely hear me. And joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John. It took him a little while.
It took him a little bit.
And yeah. John Ramos.
Hello.
We have some things we want to cover today just to encourage you. One is I want to be able to talk about, I really ponder, and the Lord's just been really just showing me a few things about life and, you know, all this beautiful artwork and beautiful dances and beautiful architecture work and monuments. People, that just, it's amazing how much of their life they put into this. But I want to talk about that because you think about it, because people can make such an impact in their lifetime, in their span, because they say, I want to make a mark. But in the end, Solomon, who made the biggest mark of all, he said it's all vanity. It's all vanity, because it's kind of hard to comprehend, because this wise man had to struggle with, I've done all this, and I'm having to leave it to people who don't even care. Mm-hmm. It was just insignificant. It just totally meant nothing's new under the sun. So we're going to talk about that, because I mean, I admire so many. There's so many things that are done. It's like, man, that's just so beautiful. And mm-hmm. it touches your heart. But the truth is, only what you do for God lasts.
That's right.
And it's only for a moment. It's vanity. It's just here and gone with the wind, as Solomon says. We won't talk about that, you know, because you can appreciate things that are going on. But at the same time, you still need to witness to the artist, mm-hmm. you know, because they can be so overtaken with people's responses to their gift, they can actually think they are their gift.
Right.
And then they find out, like Solomon at the end, at the throne of God, that it was all vanity. Mm-hmm. And so, but I just want to talk about that today, because this is probably pondering in my heart about that. Also, about standing in the gap between the living and the dead. I mean, think about it. Great disaster was coming to Israel. Kor's rebellion had rose up, you know, in Israel. And, you know, God's just trying to do something, and Kor's got an idea. And thinking that it was Moses. But long story short, this huge thing happened where the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his family, and fire came down from heaven and swallowed up 250 of the Alinsky children. Hmm. And then all of a sudden a plague broke out. But the interesting thing I want to talk about is that because someone has stood in the midst of all that, stood between the living and the dead, between the undeserving and the deserving, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Somebody stood between in the gap. That only 14,700 plus 250 of his followers and Korah and his family died. It would have been much more than that. And you know, some people say, well, where was God in all this? It could have been a lot worse. Mm. But somebody stood in the gap. And so I want to talk about that, because it's easy for people to stand up. People stand up for good people all the time. You know, people stand up for rich people all the time. It's amazing. Oh, like, yeah. Oh, that's my friend. Oh, he's got money. That's your friend.
That's your friend. Huh? Okay.
They say you win the lottery, you find out all your friends and your family and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you know, there's good people that people just will stand up for. But God stands up for everyone. He looks for everyone, anyone to stand up for everyone.
Yeah.
Including Pat.
Yeah.
And me.
Thank God.
And of course, John doesn't need intercession. No, he's walking on water and all that stuff. I mean, if he didn't walk on water, it'd be over his head anyway.
That's right. I had to. Right. Me and the Lord.
Yeah. But you think about it. So we're going to talk about that, because there is our carnal nature, our sin nature, our self can get in the way of twisting the meaning of God. God does care. And so when he has a message of hope for folks who in a time of crisis that are going to end up in a time of disaster, he has you deliver that. He's not wanting you to deliver it for fire to come down on people's head. He's wanting you to deliver it in hopes that they would repent, and then he could relent, and no longer would that have to happen. So he wouldn't have to destroy the land. So we're going to talk about that, how to stand between the living and the dead. And the truth is, if that you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I mean, you're dead in your sins. But you can be made alive in Jesus Christ. The ultimate intercessor we'll talk about is Jesus himself. This is the heart of God, intercession. It's kind of strange in the way that we think. Because he wouldn't think the creator of the universe would actually put somebody between him and them to see if somebody cares. You know?
Right.
But he did. He put his son, his perfect son, his sinless son, in between mankind and himself so that he could have a relationship with people who are like Korah, who are in rebellion and prodigals that gone astray. There's somebody just standing in the gap for him. And quite often you hear folks going like, I see what you mean, God, take him out. And that was Jonah, a reluctant intercessor. We'll be talking about that, but a reluctant intercessor. Jonah, he just showed up and mumbled a few words. You're going to die. You deserve it. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. And they listened. It's probably the worst message he ever preached. And they listened. And against his will, but in the will of God, they repented. And God relented and changed his plans for destroying the land. Mm-hmm. So truly, he looks for someone to stand between the living and the dead. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so, so very important. Also, you're talking about the destiny of knowing the Lord.
Yes. You know, to know him and to make him known. That's the destiny of the sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people know about him. There's two words in the Bible we're going to talk about that in the Greek is means to know. One means knowing God in your head, and the other one, knowing him experientially. We're going
to
talk about
that. Does this have anything to do with Greek? Solids?
No. Greek language.
I told you, he's just so smart.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does. How do you say that in Spanish?
I don't know how to say that in Spanish. See?
That was a ministry.
In Spanish, I don't know.
Spanish and spinach. Uh-huh. By the sailor man.
Hang on, it's King.
So
there it is.
So yeah, Greek solids.
No.
And feta cheese. And all that.
Greek language.
Greek language. Oh, well, you know. We're from the South.
Yeah. I mean, no Espanol.
I was listening.
I know. I heard you wrestling, and you know, I heard.
We're going to have a tournament here.
Tournament.
You think about this, and we're going to go to break and come back and talk about these things, but I was listening yesterday to these countrymen.
who are they?
Yeah. Talk to
Pray
us.
Pray that we can enunciate our words a little bit better. It's we don't want to feed into the premise that
the narrative,
but you know, it is amazing how Pat can talk and his lips don't move. I mean, that
hey, I practiced a long time.
Deep leg.
Deep leg.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Listen, this is so important because right now, great tragedies really facing mankind right now across the world. We're bowing up at China right now. You know, 1.3 billion folks. We're 300 million. They have 1.something million in their law enforcement. Hmm. We discovered probably the largest law enforcement in the world, I think. Mm-hmm. We don't need to bow up. They could turn off our computers, turn off our iPhones and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just a moment in time. And this is what the Word of God, It didn't work. The Word of God says that if you live in rebellion, if you're walking in darkness, there's going to be tension and stress and factions, and it'll just continue on. It's not going to stop but there's peace for those who walk in obedience to God. But those who walk in disobedience, they're in constant distress. And the earth is in distress right now because, you know, many of God's folks are walking in rebellion to God. And he says, if my people who are called by my name do what's right, and then everybody will benefit from it because mm-hmm. I will heal the land. We'll be back from this break in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it okay for employees to keep religious items on their desk? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, my workplace was asked me last night to take down a Christian calendar of mine, and they gave the answer that it's Home Depot property, I guess the wall, and wanted me to take it down. I just wondered if this is right.
Well, Angie, it depends on the policies of the employer. For instance, some employers say you have to have, they'll allow certain types of things displayed in the workstations, and they're very limited and very suspect as to what those will be. Others are much broader. And some, in a situation when it's usually a religious sentiment, and it may even be, you know, a situation where they think that if you have up a calendar that has a Bible verses on it, they might think that they're somehow violating federal law. You have the right to have that material out there.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I've called you to be my witness, as Jesus said. Who will tell them? Who will I send? The harvest is plentiful, but those that I would send are few. Will you go for me? Will you tell them? I've given you that job, but you won't even bring me up at the job I gave you. I've given you that relationship, but you won't even bring your relationship to me. I've given you that home, and you have all these other gods in your home. When will you be sold out for me? When? I love you. I call you my own. I'm calling you to myself. I've proven my love for you. Prove yours for me. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. I'll cherish it. I'll heal your broken heart. I'll deliver you from the captive. I'll set you free. I'll use you in my kingdom.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at vfndreamcenter.org. That's vfndreamcenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back, everything. I can actually, it's good to be back.
Hey, that is amazing.
Glad to have you. I was about to do sign language. I wasn't sure or not. Well, you know, I want to go right into the time that we have to talk about the word vanity. And because I look at people and in how their labors and their work, and think about the Michelangelo and his carvings of all these statues, and how much effort and energy that he put into to this work. I mean, the intensity. Obviously, God gave him this talent, and he was able to take this talent and make marvelous works of art that are admired even today. I mean, you can look at it and just people still want to go see his work and all that. And then you think about, you know, musicians. I mean, there's some, you know, outside of lyrics, I mean, you hear some sounds, and it's amazing how they took so much time. And I'm thinking how that overlays and how that comes together, and that beat that just kind of carries throughout, and that loop. And you're just thinking, what a beautiful work of art. How beautiful is that piece of music that they put together? And then you see some dances, you know, there's some dances that are not these other kind of dances that you see today, but it's just this dance. It's just like, you're just overtaken by how powerful that dance is and what it just brought to the moment. And I mean, some is so, it's so beautiful. It literally brings a tear to your thing. I mean, that was just so powerful of a dance. And then, you see, architecture, you know, you see buildings, you know, the right buildings that are still today, but you also see these huge towers. You see, the Freedom Towers that's there. You go, you see, just houses that are built with such great architecture, and you just look at it, and some of them, it'll take a lifetime just to begin to admire it, because you're just looking at all the idiosyncrasies and the parts of why they did it this way and why they did it that way. And it's just, and it's legitimate, beautiful art and music and just amazing things that are taking place. And then, you know, you listen to people, and some people say, you know, I want to make my mark. And they hire one of these people and say, I want you to build me. I want you to use your gift, your architectural gift, and I want you to build me, I want you to design me a building that's so unique that it just looks like blank towers, you know, whatever you want to put on it. Just some big thing that has their name on it. Somebody else says, you know, I want to own, I want to make so much money that I own the best artistic expression that there is. You know, I want to have the best dance theater. I want to have the best musicians, or I want to have, you know, and they're wanting to own that gift, what they're wanting to do. But that's how powerful these gifts are. But you think about it, at the end of the day, despite how beautiful Van Gogh's work is, and despite how beautiful supposedly the Mona Lisa is, that, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, and people sit and they go, oh, you know, I'll buy it for $20 million. You know, and you just go, wow, I could have painted that. But it's just the whole thing is, and it's like, but at the end of this thing, at the end of your life, at the end of that artist's life that you just danced to their music, you just sang their songs and you never thought about their soul. You know, you just admired their paintings, but you never thought about the painter. You just admired all those parts and what they actually did, but you didn't admire them and think about them in the end because you got overtaken by their gifts. And the truth is, no matter how powerfully you use your gift, maybe it's the gift of music, maybe it's the gift of encouragement, maybe it's the gift of teaching and preaching, maybe it's the gift of prophecy, maybe it's the gift of music and art and dance, whatever it is, the only thing that's going to count is what you did for God. It doesn't matter, because when you finish carving this Michelangelo form, you're going to die. And whoever, as Solomon said, who's not going to appreciate it, is going to take it over. They're going to take it over. In the end, it all boils down to, even though it's the most amazing music, astounding art, dances that make people weep, and buildings that take a lifetime to admire, it's really just all vanity. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 talks about it. He just says, he's talking, this is the most wisest man outside of Jesus Christ that walked the face of the earth, Solomon. He says, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, says, meaningless. Meaningless. And it's difficult because he spent his life on what he thought was meaning. Mm. The greatest palaces, the greatest clothes, the doing everything just right. But at the end of the thing, things that people still admire, not thinking Van Gogh was depressed and his life ended miserably. And, you know, and how many people looked at my work but didn't look at me. Mm-hmm. And then I just did my gift because that's the only way they would accept me. And he says, meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Think about that. Vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. And how many musicians... Yes, it's beautiful. Yes, it makes me weep. And yes, it moves my heart towards my God. But the question is to move your heart towards my God. Mm. I mean, good music can just melt a heart. And even in, I remember this one particular song that I heard for years, and I thought, man, that is just powerful. And I was like, that guy didn't have, you know, but it was just the music that melted my heart and turned my heart towards God. I thought about God. I don't know what he thought about. But it just, you know, and the thing about it is, it's like, the question is, it not does it turn my heart to God? Does it turn your heart to God? And I'm just like, I just really want to see, you know, this moment where we begin to just, the gifts of God come back into the kingdom mm-hmm. of God, and they're laid at the altar of God to bring glory to God. So in the end, your life won't be meaningless. You won't be like the ones that Jesus said that stand before his throne and say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he lists all these beautiful gifts. He's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't care about your statues, your painting, your music, your sermons, your prophecies. I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7, he says that. And then he goes on to say in Solomon here in verse 3, he says, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? He's like, we've been working so hard. And you can imagine all the blueprint concepts and mm-hmm. sketches and stuff that he's building, all these things. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The most insulting thing of all, when you suffer great loss, there's something inside of you that says the world should stop. The trees should not have grown a new leaf. The clouds should not have dropped their rain. Definitely people should not have gone to work. But the truth is, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Things just continue on. Mm-hmm. Our life is but a vapor. He says, the sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back around to rise again. The winds blow to the south. They turn around to the north. Round and round they go and return to its own course. All streams flow to the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, and they return again. All things are worrisome. More than one can say. The eye never has enough seeing, and the ear never has enough hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It has already been done long ago. It was done before. No one remembers the former generation, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. Vanity, meaningless. And it's like, if anybody can relate to gifts and immaculate, not immaculate, but just awesome works of art, it would be Solomon. But the truth is, even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like the flowers of the field.
Right.
That are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. And he's saying, listen, it's going to go on. The question is, yes, yes, you sing good. Yes, you play your instrument good. Yes, you are good with a graphic arts. You are good with your gift. But the question is, are you using it for God's glory? Because in the end, the wisest man said in the end, he said, it is all meaningless. But what counts is what you do for God. Because you're going to be able to go before the throne of God and you're going to be able to say, I gave it all to you. I mean, if he just gave you the ability not to play a violin, but play a fiddle, you played that fiddle to the very end. If he gave you one talent, you used that talent so many times that people are amazed that you could do everything you did with that one particular talent. But when you go before him, he's going to look at you and he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You were faithful with that gift, with that talent, with that stuff, what I gave you, invested it, and you got a return on it. You didn't just go out there and use it for people to admire you and your work. And you actually created something that turned people to me, and you yourself were turned to me through it. And I just want to say, you know, there's some beautiful things. There's some beautiful dances. There's some beautiful music. There's beautiful artwork, and there's beautiful statues and just architecture and all these different things. But don't be overtaken by them, because they're here today and gone tomorrow. But the Lord is forever. And his beauty, there is no end. He's ever unveiling. If these things that men, flawed men, build cause you to stand in awe, amazing what awe himself will be like when you stand in his presence. Imagine what it would be like when you're before the throne room of God and you're looking at a city that he designed specifically for you, where there's no sin and no tears and no agony. Imagine what it's going to be. If this little building just moves you like that, or this dance moves you like that, what's it going to be like when you're in the presence of God and angels are hovering over you and their wings are brushing each other as they're hovering over you, just pushing the praise towards the throne room of God? Imagine what it's going to look like, the foundations of heaven and the pearly gates and the golden streets. I mean, you think this awes you? Imagine the awe of the presence of God. Truly, you know, I say, you know, admire things that are happening, that the men are doing, but worship God. But realize too, in the end, that person who has that gift may be so overwhelmed by their gift, they may be taking all the glory for that. And pause for a moment and say, that was a beautiful song. It was great. You know, where's your soul? Do you know God? I know that T.D. Jakes said that to a particular artist that was coming through his church. And everybody else just wanted his gift. They just wanted his gift. And T.D. Jakes says something up with this young man. And he pulls him aside and he says, what's going on in your life? And he just falls apart. And he found out. Everybody just kept booking him for another singing engagement. Another, because, you know, that's what people will do. Mm-hmm. You know, you sing, you dance, whatever you do, they'll hire you. But when you're not doing it for God, it's called prostitution, right?
Yeah.
If it's a gift that God's given you and you're using it, you're selling the gift. But in the context of that, T.D. Jakes paused and said, are you all right? That's what I ask you. Are you all right? Think about it. I mean, you're going back to preach again next Sunday and you're falling apart. Your marriage is falling apart. Your family's falling apart. You're going to go back and you're going to pull something else out of the hymnal. You're going to pull one more transparency up. You're going to put one more PowerPoint together. But I'm asking you, yeah, everybody admires all that part, but what about you? Where are you at in your life? I just want to encourage you right now. to make a decision not to live your life in vanity, not to live it in meaningless effort, because it becomes meaningless after a while. It becomes totally meaningless when your gift is used for something other than the worship of God. I want to encourage you, just repent and say, you know what, God, I'm going to recommit. I am tired of all these things that I made it. I'm bringing everything back to the heart of worship. All my art, all my music, all my dance, everything that I do, Lord, I'm going to do it for you.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations, or Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our Christian television network audience and our radio audience, and a big shout out to those on the Gulf Coast. And don't forget, we're 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget, also, you can catch us on VFNTV.com on your apps, and all 24/7, and on the weekends we have
Marathon Weekend,
and
back to back.
It's perfect for when you're doing your lawn work, or you're going out doing things. It just, you catch the everything. You can be caught up in one weekend, everything that happened that week, and maybe even have a few laughs. Potentially, I'm not necessarily sure about that. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello,
hello, hello. Well, hopefully we get a chance to talk about Dutch Sheets coming up. Dutch Sheets is responding to the voice of the Lord, as we've been hearing and others are hearing, Rodney Howard Brown, which we talked about already. Did you ever find the...
I did.
Okay, good. And it's exciting to start hearing. I mean, it's kind of lonely when you're having to move prophetically. At first, it's like... You know, you feel like you're a voice of one crying in the wilderness, and people think, you know, you're eating, you're dressed in camel hair, eating honey and locusts. You know, what's wrong with you? No, seriously, this is gonna happen. And when you're just that prophetic warning or the prophetic encouragement, and what we've been believing God for and crying out for and praying for some time now is a third great awakening.
No doubt.
And one reason why is because we need it. That's probably the only thing that will turn America around. But understand, it will turn America around. It'll change the DNA of our nation. And it's interesting too that we were talking yesterday about Leonard Ravenhill and his book and how they saw these things going on, and what the response was, what his mentor was Chadwick. He said that that the Lord gave him a vision about just training up teams and sending them out. That'll be last. Yeah. Training up teams and sending them out, and just go out and begin to do what, you know, Jesus commanded to do. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
You know, go out to all the world and preach the gospel and take nothing for your journey. Take nothing from others for your journey.
Oh, that's right.
And that makes no sense. And it was interesting because they were having to set things apart different than what the culture was at the time, because all of a sudden, obviously, people were into doing everything for money and not for God.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially. Allegedly. So that's a very important thing to think about. You know, things can change when all of a sudden we're willing to do. And we talk about these generals, and we've talked about them before, and hopefully there'll be a related link. You can go to the VFN Torch. As a matter of fact, I'm very excited about it. And if you could pull it up right now while I'm talking, that you can go right to VFNTV.com, and you can find the whole torch now is right inside. You can scroll up a little bit. Yeah, that's actually right inside. You're looking at it now inside the VFNTV.com. And not only that, but in regards to being able to see the video that's taking place and that you have on CTN and all that, it's going to be made available to you too. You can pull that up as well. You'll be seeing that in just a moment. So make sure everything that you need is available there. And also what you see on VFNTV.com are our sponsors who stand with us to help make it available. Make a point of going by, seeing who they are, and visit them. There's the prophetic word, but you scroll down, you actually can see at the bottom, it has all the different programs that you can see. If you miss one, you can share them with your friends. You can embed them in your Facebook and all your social community. It's just really cool to see things just coming all together to make it more available for you. You can get that at VFNTV.com. Well, I was talking in an earlier program, we're going to talk about it in this program, about standing in the gap between the living and the dead.
Mm.
And that is so difficult to do quite often, because normally dead folks stink.
Mm. Yes, they do.
You know what I'm saying?
And they have flies.
And they have, well, they have flies. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, spiritually dead.
They have flies.
Yeah. Oh, they have flies. Okay. Okay.
And other things.
You're talking about deliverance. Okay. Lord of the flies. And so the, and which means in the context of saying that they got issues. They got lots of issues. Mm-hmm. And the reason why judgment is coming or destruction is coming to that person's life or about to happen to a nation or something is because people are doing bad things, not good things. For example, Miriam, Moses' sister, was coming against God, coming against Moses. And so she was doing some bad stuff. And, you know, the Lord basically told her, you know, you might as well just spit in my eye the way you're talking right here. And how many people don't see coming against God's anointed leadership as spitting in the face of God? Isn't that what he told Miriam? It's like, you might as well just spit in my eye. And so he gave her, she got struck by leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
But Moses has the heart of God. I mean, he knew the heart of God. And so he began to put himself between the dead and the living. He put himself between Miriam, who was going to die of leprosy, and God, and just said, you know, would you forgive her? You know, and he did. And that's just the God that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think about the time that when, you know, Moses is leading Israel outside of Egypt, and they've made it to a certain point, and Korah and his crew begin to look at things in the natural. And this is so dangerous, by the way. I want to encourage you. Don't look at what God does in the natural. Mm-hmm. It could cost you
Quite a bit.
And so Korah was admiring and watching, actually envying and desiring what Moses was doing. Moses was just doing what God told him to do. But Korah was thinking that he figured it out. Oh, he's just organizing folks. This is nothing but a Linsky model. I can do this thing. And so he starts putting his hand on what's God's. And so very calmly, you know, Moses is saying, okay, great. You know, we'll just let God decide. You know, if he's decided you're the leader, I'm cool with it. I never wanted to come in the first place. But if he decided you're the leader now, and that was a very dangerous moment for him to start laying his mouth and his hand on God's stuff. Mm-hmm. And but Moses, you know, if you're doing it for God, it's just like, okay, we'll just wait and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So he says, come up tomorrow, get your little censers, come on up, get you some coals from the altar. We're going to go meet God tomorrow.
Right.
And we'll see what he's going to do. And he'll just let us know what's going on. And so when they show up, I mean, think about it. This guy is organizing against Moses. Moses is trying to lead these rebellious folks out of Egypt, having all these issues with them. It's difficult enough. They're thirsty. They're complaining. They want food. They, you know, you're trying to kill us. You brought us out here to die. You know, I mean, just imagine this. That sounds familiar. Anyway, so so now you have somebody in the midst of that trying to organize and take out the leadership that's there. And if anybody could have been offended, you know, Moses could have been offended, right? I mean, you think about it. But he wasn't, or he didn't say that he was, because he was God's man. He could have just said, you know, off with his family or whatever. But he just let God make the decision. And so he said, you know, let's meet before the tent of meetings tomorrow. And that's where he met God, by the way, just so you know that's where God met them, met Moses and talked face to face with Moses. Isn't it amazing that somebody who's hearing from God, somebody who's not hearing from God, can come up and challenge the person who's hearing from God? It's like,
right,
I'm just over here in a conversation. You and God are going to have a real rough situation if you come against that, because you're just like spitting in God's eye. Mm-hmm. And so in that, of course, God says, I'm very upset with Korah. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, this is when God starts saying, step away from him.
You know, you better get out of the way.
You know, this is in Numbers 16, the book of Numbers 16. He's like, everybody step away from Korah.
Yeah.
You know, of course, pride is so blinding. Evil. Yeah. He probably thought he's about to be chosen as the new leader of Moses.
Right.
And what happened was the earth opened up and it just swallowed him and his family. And then fire came down from heaven and the 250 people that he was able to organize using Galinsky tactics.
Mm-hmm.
The fire just burned them up, just came down from heaven, just whew,
consumed them. Yeah.
Consumed them. I mean, imagine that. That'd be enough when you think, but not with men. And so then all of a sudden, a plague breaks out amongst the people. Because you got to think about it. If you ever entertain a conversation with a Korah, you've offended God. If you sat for 5 minutes and you entertain a conversation with Korah, knowing that man and that woman is coming against God. I was in a restaurant the other day, wide open restaurant. And this man, you know, passes me his card and he says, you know, I went down and got my ordination from some place in Texas and showed up down there, watched his videos and got my thing. And he's talking out loud, you know. I'm like, okay. And he says, yeah, I just want to give you my card because networking is where it's at. Networking where it's at. You know, people's listening in this wide open restaurant. And then all of a sudden he started talking against pastors and leaders in the church. And openly in the restaurant, I'm telling this man, I said, whoa. I said, you know, you've gone, you know, I'm not a part of that. And that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was speaking against God's folks.
Mm-hmm.
And also too, everybody in that restaurant understood that's the proper thing. That you don't do that. And so you're finding out here, it's like, you cannot entertain a conversation. So why would a plague break out against Israel if Korah was the issue? Because what is Korah even having any play here? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Who contributed to his campaign of rebellion? You know? Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden a plague now is breaking out. And you think about it, everybody's probably thinking the earth's going to open up any moment. It says that it's going to swallow us next. And that's what happened during Azusa Street. You know, when the revival was happening, when the earth began to split, everybody begins to think it may split under me next.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the original intent of the splitting the earth. And so, so here he is in verse 40, Numbers 16:40. Then Moses says to Aaron, he says, take your censer, put incense in it along with burning coals from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement, which is intercession for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord. This is the apple of God's eye. And wrath now is coming out. It's like, are y'all really going to organize against me? Are you going to spit in my eye? Did you not remember Miriam getting leprosy? I mean, are you, do you really think, I mean, it wasn't enough to, for the ground to swallow Korah and his family, which means, by the way, and according to Ananias and Sapphira, you don't have to go along with evil just because you're married to it. You can step away from it. Or just because your kids are, or just because your parents are. I mean, you're held, you know, if you would have stepped out from Korah's stuff, you wouldn't have been swallowed up by that. You're held individually accountable. And so in the context of that, so here it is the wrath of God had broke out against the Lord. And you got to hear the rest of this. We come back from this break. You're going to be amazed what took place and how important it is to be able to stand between the living and the dead.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent, let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, 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 and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen. You need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN Radio and VFN TV. I am talking about standing between the living and the dead. And as we were breaking off into the break, you think about it. I mean, Korah has been swallowed up by the earth. His family's been swallowed up by the earth. Fire has come down from heaven and eaten, devoured, consumed the very organized effort, right? Imagine that. All their little signs and everything just got eaten up. And now, but a plague broke out. And so Moses tells Aaron, quickly, grab a censer, put in some incense along with some coals from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Get out there quickly because God's wrath has broken out against us. And the plague has started. And how many people say, instead of just going, God's in total control, and he says, in his word, when these things happen, if you repent, then I'll stop these things. But so much evil has happened, people start saying, well, this can't be God. It's like, it's a plague. Mm. It's disaster. Why not turn to the God who can stop disaster? Mm-hmm. I mean, think how foolish that is to sit here and say, well, you're telling yourself, you know, this is not God. Either way, God can stop it. You know, why not turn to God and cry out to God? But in your own reasoning, you're going like, well, you know, even though I lost 15 members of my family, this is not God. It's like, what if you would have turned to God and you'd not lost your family? That plane wouldn't have went down. That fire wouldn't have burned the California hills. That the drought wouldn't have come and cracked slabs throughout Texas. Or the floods wouldn't have come and drowned the Gulf Coast. I mean, what if? And he's like, he looks for somebody who understands what's happening and has his heart in the context of this, and to grab a censer, if you would, and begin to run in the midst of folks that don't really deserve forgiveness. They're doing things that are really wrong in the face of God. He's not looking for somebody to judge everybody. He's looking for somebody who's going to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. So Aaron, he says in verse 47, Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly, and the plague had already started amongst the people, but Aaron offered prayer, intercessory prayer. Aaron offered incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. One man listening to a leader who did what he said do, begin to pray and intercede for these folks, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died with this plague in addition to Korah and his family. And that's the heart of God. The heart of God is like, you know, he's not wanting, I always joke about, you know, AM radio, but you hear people just kind of attacking folks. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is that he loves folks. We're creating his image and his likeness, and he doesn't want anybody to pass outside the knowledge of knowing him in a personal relationship with him. He just wants somebody to stand in the gap for them. And he talks about it in Ezekiel 22:30. He says, this is what God says. He says, I, God, look for someone, a person who comes from among them, which means one of the very folks he's talking about, not some stranger, who comes from among them, who would build up the wall and stand before me, stand before God in the gap on behalf of the land so that I wouldn't have to destroy it. He goes on and says, but I found none. That's what he says here. Mm-hmm. But he found someone with Moses. Moses said, I'll stand in the gap for Israel. I'll go there and I'll speak to Pharaoh and I'll allow these plagues to take place. Yes, I'll lead your people into the wilderness. And yes, I'll help Aaron and the priesthood that's going on right here. And yes, I see what Miriam has done, and Miriam does deserve that and is spitting in your eye. And I'm sorry, God, that even happened. But I'm just asking you, Lord, would you forgive her? And God just goes, yeah. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. What if Moses didn't say, what if he didn't stand between the living and the dead? What if he didn't stand between Miriam and God? I mean, she spit in the face of God. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the old things that somebody says, hold me back. And you don't want to do it, but you're glad your friend's holding you back. You know what I'm saying? That's somebody's interceding from that. It's not that the person doesn't deserve their head knocked off
right
in the cartoon. But in the context of it, you know, you kind of got that, you know, I'm going to take you out, but I'm not going to take you out. You know, somebody help me here. This is not going to be good. You remember. No, Mr.
And the, unfortunately.
Right. Just joking. And so that God, I think the powerful, awesome God who's holding everything together, giving us breath and giving us moisture in our mouth only to be used to be spit into his face. I mean, God is like, I need somebody to just remind me how my love for them. Can somebody to remind me of my word? What was my original vision over mankind? Hmm. And he forgives. And you look at David, King David, and Absalom. I mean, Absalom was just a mess. He was just, you know, trying to destroy everything. He wanted what his father had. But David had this heart after Absalom. So he was interceding. I know my son is so bad that I can't even see him, put him out there somewhere, but Joab brought him back. At the same time, he's saying, but I love him. His last words were at his death, at the sound of his son's death, he said, you know, how much I loved him. And so that's God's heart, because David had the heart of God. That's how God is with us. God doesn't take pleasure when somebody dies outside of making a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. It's not a pleasurable thing. We put a video on the torch yesterday from Bill Weiss. You got to check it out. Go to VFNTV.com. And right there on at VFNTV.com, click on the torch in the upper right-hand corner and you can go see it. But it's a video of a man going to hell. And it's his out-of-body, it's a vision that he had. Mm-hmm. You can hear it. But he says the Lord's heart was broken when people would fall into that pit. But this is just the heart of God. God's looking for someone, not to judge folks. He's the judge. He's looking for somebody who stands up and says, but God, I'll stand in the gap for them. And it's real difficult to do because the reason why people need somebody to stand in the gap for them, they're coming against the God that you love. They're spitting in the face of God that you love. They're rebelling against the God that you love. Maybe they're harming you or harming your business or whatever, or maybe harming the church. And it's real difficult to get into that gap and grab a censer and fall to your knees for the right reason and begin to say, dear God, forgive this person, you know, and you're worried about what's going to happen to this person. And quite often that's, you know, always been my concern is like, what's going to happen to this person? Mm-hmm. You know, and you pray that things won't happen. But that's the heart of God. And so standing in a gap for somebody who was good, that's not a difficult thing. I mean, people will even lay down their life for a good man, the word of God says. But standing in the gap for people who don't deserve it is easier when you realize that you don't deserve it either. Mm-hmm. That you were chosen from amongst the very same folks. You are of that lot. You are a fallen man. You are a fallen woman in need, a desperate need of the love of God, the mercies of God, and the grace of God. When you realize that you are them outside of him, it's easy to pray for folks because you realize, because the Lord had compassion on you and had mercy on you, then you can have compassion on them. Freely you receive, freely give. God is looking for someone who will, even in the midst of people suffering the great consequences of rebelling against God, spitting in God's eye, saying horrific things, you know, against God and his word, he's looking for somebody who believes that he can actually save this person, that he can turn them around. He's looking for somebody who stands in the gap and say, listen, heal Miriam. I know what she did, and I'm sorry for what she did. Would you forgive the sins of my father and forgive my sins, dear Lord, so you don't have to destroy the land? We just say right now on behalf of America, God, we just stand in the gap and say, Lord, forgive us for our sins in this nation. Forgive us for the laws that we enacted that's against your ways. Forgive us for the messages that came back forth from the pulpits that were not of you at all, Father God, forgive us for our sin, Lord God. Heal our nation. Save our land. We ask in Jesus' name.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
My goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to have a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast. Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Yes.
Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel. And we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment.
Ooh,
barbecue.
A taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I can tell you. This man came in, he's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker.
And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite?
Right? Right?
Yeah. And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good.
They was good.
That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.